for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday afternoon, July the 8th, 2010. Carla Batard is the speaker of this service, teaching on Kingdom Number 6, The Spirit Man. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
So we're really like a man within a man. And I heard, it was Clement Humboldt one time, was talking about an astronaut that he knew. And he said that the astronaut told him, I don't tell many people this, but I'm going to tell you, that when I was on the moon, I could see 360 degrees. And I'm thinking, what? You know, but I learned a long time ago, even if me and what I've learned and where I came from and everything says, I don't think so. And, you know, Patty said up here the other night, she said, are you willing to change your beliefs if they're wrong? I mean, for a long time, I wouldn't receive things because it's like Mr. Bijou said, someone told him, your doctrine, you know, your doctrine and your dog, you know, someone walked out of the church because their belief totally could not even receive what he was saying. And instead of giving God a chance or saying, okay, I've learned to say, okay, Lord, you're going to have to talk to me about that. You know, I'm not throwing it out, but I'm not receiving it either. But I'm asking you, is this something I want to let in, or is this something I need to keep out? So I learned to do that with the things of God, because I know how many doctrines God has changed in me. Because what I believed and the way I believed it, and, you know, you're not going to tell me any different, and then God says, different. So I stay in that place. Lord, I want to receive your truth, you know, and I don't want to throw anything out. I'll ask you about it, and you protect me from myself, because this flesh body is spirit, soul, and body, and my spirit man is also spirit, soul, and body, because the spirit man is, in the Word, it says that we have the mind of Christ. But Carla doesn't have the mind of Christ. I don't. But my spirit man has the mind of Christ. And it's in there. And so when Clement was talking about this, having this sight all the way around, well, I didn't pitch it out. And then one day I remembered, you know, I think there's a scripture somewhere that talks about a spirit that has eyes all around. And they're in heaven with God. And so, okay, I can exercise that a little bit. I can receive that a little bit. And so I went home, and I was thinking about this. Because remember, 8 years ago, my quest was, I need to know more about how to walk in this spirit. I need to know more about the spirit. And so after he preached that, I was at home, and we had fertilized our grass, and I was standing out in the front yard with a water hose and just kind of spraying where he fertilized. And it may have been grass seed. I may have thrown out some grass seed. I can't remember which one. But anyway, I was watering, and just I'm thinking about all of this. And all of a sudden, I mean, I'm deep in thought, and I just go like this. I turned around and looked behind me. And at that very moment, my husband was going to play a trick on me. He had come from the backyard and got the hose and squatted down, and he was
just about to squeeze the water off of it.
And I went, and he said, "What made you look?" And I said, "I know things." But, you know, we laughed about it, and he went on. But when I turned back around, I thought to myself, what did make me look? What did make me look? Did my spirit man see him? You know, we used to say Mama had eyes in the back of her head. But see, our spirit man is not limited, but it sort of is because it's in our flesh container. And that's going to be something that we're going to have to learn as we begin to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. When I first started being part of the 6 o'clock prayer meeting, I want to tell y'all, I was terrified. It wasn't my idea. But I told the Lord a long time ago, "You open the doors, I'll walk through them." But I was terrified. I mean, Dr. Null used to be up here doing that, and I would watch him in awe. You know, one time he came around and he said, what do you want the Lord to do for you today?" I said, "Is it wrong for me to covet your gift, the gift that you operate in? I mean, these gifts are important. We need these gifts in order to do deliverance. We need that." Man, he could see those things. He's saying all these names, sound like Chinese, and, you know. And I'm like, what in the world? Where is he getting all this stuff? But anyway, so he prayed for me. He prayed for me for the gifts to come forth. And Frank Marzullo is my uncle's brother. And I met him one time, the very first time I'd ever met him. It was back in the 90s. And I had gone, he was going to be in Plainview, Texas. Well, my uncle had sent me all his books. I told y'all that the other day. And, I mean, I read every one of them. And, I mean, it was like life. It was like finally, explanations to these things that never made sense. Okay, so I called him up one day. I said, "Do you mentor people?" I said, "You don't know me, but I'm Ernie's niece. And I need to know, do you mentor people? Because I'll drive to Florida. I just need to hang out." You know, the disciples had Jesus. They walked around and watched him. They saw him do it. At this time, I didn't even know this place existed. I didn't have anybody. This was all brand new, I mean, stuff, because raised in the Methodist church, you don't hear about stuff like this. But I had been reading my Bible. I saw it in the Bible, and I needed to know. So I called him up. I said, "You don't know me, but I am Ernie's niece, and I have read all your stuff. Uncle Ernie sent it to me, and I've been reading these things, and it's just so exciting to me, but I need to know what to do with it. I mean, I know God didn't bring all this knowledge to me just to sit here and know it." And so he said, "Well, where do you live, dear?" He was about this big and about that big around, but he had the biggest voice you've ever heard. I expected, you know, big man. And anyway, "Where do you live, dear?" I said, "I live in Texas." "Well, I'm coming to Texas next month." And I went, "Really? Where are you going to be?" What did he say? Pampa. Never heard of it in my life. I mean, I live over here next to Louisiana, almost on the Gulf Coast, and he's saying Pampa, Texas. Never heard of it. So he said, "You be there." And I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "And I'm going to be at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Arkansas in October, and I want you to be there too." And this was August. So September I was going to be in Pampa, wherever that was. And then I was going to come to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, wherever that was. And it was the minister's meeting. And I didn't know, you know, the minister's meeting is by invitation only. So he tells me, "You call them. And you tell them that you're my niece, and I want you there." And I said, "But I'm not your niece." He said, "Any niece of Ernie's is a niece of mine. Now you call them up, and you tell them I want you to be there." And I said, "Okay." So I call. He gives me the number, and I call Lake Hamilton. And I think it was Crystal who answered the phone. And I said, "Hi, you don't know me, but I'm Ernie Marzullo's niece." And, I submitted to his authority. I said, "I'm his niece, and he told me that he was going to be there in October, and he wants me to be there." And she said, "Well, we don't have any rooms left." And I said, I'll sleep in the closet. I have to be there. And she said, oh, I like that. So she left and came back and said, we'll find you a place. So anyway, I went to Pampa. Pampa, by the way, is above Amarillo in the panhandle. I mean, I could have driven to Florida. It might have been closer. But anyway, I drove 11 and a half hours to Pampa, Texas to meet him. He was flying in. So I left a note at the desk. You know, when Mr. Marzullo arrives, please tell him to call me in room, whatever my room was. So he calls me. Why don't you come over, dear? And so I went over, knocked on the door. He opens it up, and there's this little tiny man. And I'm like, where's the big guy? But anyway, so he said, what is it you want, dear? And I said, everything you've got. He said, do you mean that? I said, with all of my heart. So he pulls me in the room. He puts a chair behind me. I'm thinking, does he want me to sit? I think I sat down. He picked me up. I thought, well, what do you put the chair there for? So he gets out his anointing oil, and he anoints me, and he prays for me, and then he told me to stick out my tongue. Well, that was a little nerve-wracking because I had read Smith Wigglesworth, and he told a story about one time this man stuttered out in the thing, and God told him to spit on his tongue. And I thought, oh, no. He's going to spit on my tongue. But he didn't. I just closed my mouth and, like, and what he did was he just popped my tongue. He anointed his fingers and he popped my tongue and it felt like a bee sting. Anyway, I said, okay. This was all new to me, but whatever. He knows what he's doing. But anyway, he imparted the mantle of deliverance and healing. Well, that was okay. I mean, I didn't feel any different, but thank you. And so now I'm up here at Lake Hamilton, and all of that, this is like, okay, so I found Lake Hamilton, and I met Brother Jim here the first time. I had to come all the way to Arkansas to meet Brother Jim from Beaumont, which is only 80 miles from where I live, and another man who lived in Jasper. I was just like, get out. I had to come all the way here to meet people that are in this, that are close to me, which was good news, because then I drove down to his church for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. Okay, and I was coming to Lake Hamilton ever since. I've been coming almost every camp. Okay, so now I'm coming, and Brother Jim introduced me to Glenn, and Brother Jim sent him a tape that I taught at his church, and then one day I came home, and there was an invitation from Mr. Miller. And so I was, you know, that was very intimidating because, well, it just was. So here I am. And then Dr. Null sometimes would, you know, just call me over and, you know, just love on her, you know, so I'd love on him. And one time he called over and he said, she has the spirit of something or other. And he walked off. And I was like, and? What do you want me to do? So I did all I knew to do. In the name of Jesus, that's the way he said, in my name, you shall cast out demons, and do you know that it worked? So, you know, but we as humans don't think that we can. We're intimidated. We see other people do it, and we think we have to reach some sort of level of believing or perfection. No. He's in there. He's in there. If you've received the Holy Ghost, that his, where does it say? Of his fullness have we all received. That's what it says. Of his fullness have we all received. Okay, Lord, where is that in my notes? I know it's in here. Of his fullness. Okay, that is Ephesians 3:19. Let's look at that. Ephesians 3:19. Because I want you to know that when you received Jesus Christ, it's almost the same as what he has done on the cross. He said, it is finished. And when you received Jesus, you received the Holy Ghost of God, the Spirit of the living God, the same Spirit of the living God that filled Jesus. That's in us. Listen, this has changed my life. When I first started trying to pray for people, I mean, my clothes would shake, my knees would shake. until I read the end, the 19 and 20 in Mark 16, where it says that he told them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, you know, down, 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 and in my name you shall, that. And then it says, and then he was received up into heaven, and they went. Let me just read that so I can do it justice. Mark 16. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with. Now, it just said the Lord was received up into heaven, right? So he's in heaven, but it says the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. The Lord does that. See, before we get the reality that it is the Spirit of God in us and the Spirit man who moves in that operation that Jesus moved in, we're afraid because the flesh has fear and it doesn't have anything to do with us. It is the Spirit of the living God that is in our body container who moves out and does these things. I don't have to say, don't let it be my hands, Lord. Let it be yours. I already know it's his. It's the Spirit of the living God in this flesh container, which, you know, for a little while when I first started coming up here at the 6 o'clock prayer meeting, it was so intimidating because you have people, you know, you see people and they're like dying inside because of the things they have suffered. And they're here for a miracle. And before I really understood this, it was scary because I don't have anything to give you, you know. And the people are coming and they want help. And so one morning, I was praying in my room before coming up here and dealing with this fear. I didn't like it. And I thought, okay, Lord, I want to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, right? Okay, I'm just going to, like I have on a zipper suit. If I had a zipper that started here, went all the way down my side and to the bottom of my foot, and I could just slip this flesh off and lay it on the bed, I would go through that motion. Lord, I'm taking off that flesh suit of Carla, the thing that fear is tormenting right now, and I lay it on the bed. I'm leaving that thing here, and I'm going in the Spirit. And Lord, use me. Use me. And I used to pray, Lord, every day I would get up and present my body a living sacrifice. Jesus died, right? And he needs our containers to do his works in the world, to establish his kingdom where there's no sickness, no disease, no demonic torments. The kingdom should be free of those things. That was for us. Deliverance is for the kingdom of God. Healing belongs to the kingdom of God. And so, and these things, when we do these things, the glory of God is made manifest in the earth. If you pray for someone and they get healed, it's about releasing his glory in the earth. And believe me, and I used to think, well, you know, I would go to pray for someone and they would say, well, if they're not saved, it's not going to do you any good. So I'd go home and say, Lord, well, what do you say about that? Well, where's the blueprint? You go to the Word. Jesus went in. He sent them out into whatever city you enter into. Heal the sick. He didn't say to be selective. And then he showed me that those people that got healed, their desire, which is exactly what the works of God are to do, was to create a love of Jesus, and then they wanted to follow him. He would have to say, no, go home. Go on back to your house. Tell everybody, you know, but they wanted to follow him. So it's an evangelistic tool. That's the greatest kind. What is it? It's not in word and deed, but in power. It's those lightning rods. And you know how it says he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And I looked up that word. You know, it's just like blood. We talked about blood in the ladies' meeting. And she said, do you know what the word blood means? Well, no, I've never looked it up because I know what blood is. I mean, I could cut myself and see what blood is. But no, we could do ourselves justice to look up the meanings of these words. Because I looked up the word fire. You know, we know what fire is. Strike a match, there it is. But when I looked up the word fire, because I thought, well, let me just see. It says fire. The definition of fire is fire, such as lightning. And I thought, wow, look at that. Lightning. When lightning strikes, what does it leave? Fire. So it's that power of God that strikes the fire, even the desire for Jesus. It can be evangelistic. Okay, so I'm gonna tell y'all one more thing about how the Spirit, because it's 10 minutes to 5, and we fasted today, so I wanna stop on time to eat. I'm hungry. But okay, another dream that I had. Let's see, I went last year, and it was 2 years before that. So, okay, 4 years ago I had this dream. In the dream, I'm standing on the shore. Of where? I have no idea. My back was to the land. But I'm looking out at this vast water, and it's crystal clear. It's just beautiful. I knew it wasn't the Gulf Coast. That much I knew. Before the oil. Before the oil. It's not pretty. Okay, the water is sandy, and you know, you have to wash everything when you get out of the water. But anyway, I was on this shore, and on this, from the shore, there went out a wooden deck about 4 feet wide and about this far off the water. No rails or anything, and it went about, 20 or 30 feet out, and then it turned and it made a square. And there was a group of people over on the right-hand side, but they're looking out away from this enclosed area, which the water in the enclosed area was black, like oil. And so I'm going to go join these people. So I'm headed this way, and I'm going to turn and go. And it was like I knew them, but I didn't know them. And so when I get about halfway to this down the thing, in this black water, I see this crocodile. It just floats to the surface. You know how sneaky they are. It's like it just floated up, and the oil ran off of the back and the nose. You could see those pointy things on his back. And it was 4 feet wide across the belly. No ordinary crocodile. And it was pointed in this direction. I saw it, and I stopped immediately. And before I could do anything, that crocodile moved that fast and was up on that deck and ate the leader of those people. And then he was back in the water. I mean, he ate him in one bite. His mouth was huge. And then he was back in the water, and I was just like paralyzed, terrorized, horrified. And now the crocodile's looking at me. And I thought, uh-oh, I'm next on the menu. And, of course, it wouldn't do any good to run or scream or anything because I'd seen the thing move. Well, then it like hit me, and I said, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And I pointed at it, and his legs went down, and his little back legs went next to the tail, and he just rolled over in the water, and he was dead. And I thought, wow. Okay, so that was 4 years ago. 2 years ago, I was invited to the Bahamas to speak at a conference. And about a week before I left, I remembered that the water in the Bahamas is crystal clear. Now I'm thinking, so the lady, my friend who travels with me, because Mike can't take off of work for a week, and so she said, well, what do you think? Do you think that's like a warning not to go? I said, no, I don't feel like it's that. I don't feel like it's a warning. So we get to the Bahamas, and we find out, I found out that the pastor who invited me is going to speak on marine spirits. And marine spirits, you know, those islands, they're real active, especially around islands. And, you know, the United States is not a big island surrounded by water. But so he taught about how these marine spirits work and how they are active in all of these like Mardi Gras. Well, every place has their festival. And this one in the Bahamas was fixing to start. So he's talking about this particular festival that's fixing to start. And he's naming all these spirits and how they, you know how they wear these masks and what each mask means. And, I mean, it's very interesting. And then when the last night of the conference, we were all eating pizza out by the pool where we were staying. And right as the sun went down, we started hearing this. It was right behind our hotel. And these were not ordinary drums. It was the most evil thing I'd ever heard, because it wasn't just one drum. It was a bunch of drums. It was like the sound was like going through me. It was just evil to the core. And every once in a while we'd get a whiff of something putrid. And I said, you don't think they're burning a sacrifice over there? Because what they do is they do this drumming to summon the spirits. Okay, so it was really creepy. And so when my friend and I went up to our room, I told her, I said, you know what? I really feel a need to pray. I feel like we need to pray about all this. So we started praying in the spirit, in English. I was doing warfare, and until the burden lifted. And when it lifted, I said, okay, I'm going to take my shower now. And I turned around, and all the lights went out. All the lights went out. Not only in the hotel, but all around us in the city. It wasn't raining. The wind wasn't blowing. There was no explanation for why the lights went out, except that I believe that there was such a spirit of darkness being released right there behind our hotel that it was so strong it knocked the lights out. Okay, so when the lights went out, my concern was no air conditioning. Because we're all so spoiled, and it was hot, really hot there. And so my friend was going to go down and see what happened. I said, don't open that door. And she said, well, I'm not afraid to go down there. And I said, this doesn't have anything to do with fear. You know, it was kind of shocked me when I said, don't open that door, because I don't usually talk like that to people. But anyway, so, and when the lights went out, immediately I had a feeling that I've never experienced in my whole life. It was like electricity under my skin. It wasn't fear. Fear hits you right here. And I've lived with fear. I was delivered of fear. I know what fear is. It wasn't fear. But it was a strange sensation. And when I described it to my friend, I said, it's almost like right underneath my skin, over the whole surface of my body, even under my fingernails and my toenails, it feels like electricity running through my body. And it was just weird. And it was like the glove, the hand in the glove thing. You know, I could feel the hand under the glove. That's what it felt like. Well, now I know that was my spirit man. I said, I believe, if I had to describe it to you, it's like my spirit is at a heightened alertness. It just felt like that. And so when that went away, or subsided, or whatever you want to call it, I said, okay, now we can go out. So we went to the pastor's room, and he's a black man. He said, I told you she'd be down here. And I said, no. But anyway, we got in there, and shortly after that, the lights came back on. But the drunk, it started at about right before 8 o'clock, and we're going on midnight. That's how long it was getting on my last nerve. I thought, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to sleep with that racket, you know. So we're in the room, and now the lights came back on. Well, at least we'll have air conditioning. I guess we'll go on back down to our room if we can sleep with these drums. And I said, wait a minute. I remembered that dream. And the crocodile, the evil. And I said, okay, y'all, I'm just going to try something. Probably going to look stupid and sound crazy, but I just pointed my finger to the back of that hotel and I said, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I command you to cease in Jesus' name. And before I could get my finger back, it stopped. I was like, whoa. Whoa. I was telling this story to Glenn. I said, I wanted to go. Like you see in the Westerns. But anyway, this is something that I just wanted to begin. It's 5 o'clock. I wanted to begin it. I knew I wouldn't finish it today. But I wanted to let you know this much, that if you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior and you've been born again, and that Spirit, God showed me how, you know, Mary, when she conceived Jesus, it said the Holy Ghost overshadowed her and she conceived. And she conceived a spirit man in her body. She gave birth to that spirit man, but the same thing happens to us when we receive that, when we're born again, the Holy Ghost overshadows us and He is conceived in us. And we are born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That's the spirit man on the inside. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You have a new life. There is a new man in you. It's a spirit man. And it's greater than the flesh man you walk around and have contact with the world with. Isn't that exciting? It has changed my life. It has, because my flesh has fear. When I would try to, you know, ask God to, Lord, you know, I feel like you want me to go pray for this person, but, oh, please come with me. Oh, please let your spirit be for me. You know, all that's gone. All of that is gone because He is in us. And we are spirit and body. And so, I just wanted to begin this, and I will complete it in September, so if y'all want to hear the conclusion. But I hope I've given you enough to take away that fear of doing what, whenever God lays it on your heart to do it without fear or anything. And I'll just tell you one more short testimony about how the spirit man works. So when I realized this, okay, Paul says he puts his body under subjection. I kind of wondered what that was too. That's not like saying, well, it is. I'm not going to have that second piece of chocolate cake. That's putting my flesh under subjection. But now it's like, Lord, I submit today. I present my body and I submit my flesh man to my spirit man. I put my body under subjection to the spirit man so that the spirit man will come forth and walk today and not just be walking and fulfilling the lust of my flesh. I want to walk in that spirit man. So I'm getting Mike ready for work and I go into the bedroom to do something and I say, oh, I need to remember to get that umbrella, and I'm supposed to take those to a lady. And ordinarily, I'd get in the car and I'd be halfway to Jasper, and I'd think, oh, I forgot that umbrella and those things. Well, it's too far to turn around and go back. But since I have been subjecting, putting my flesh down to allow that spirit man to come forth, I've noticed a difference. I'll be getting my purse and stuff, and then I'll turn right around and go in the bedroom and pick up my umbrella and those things that I need to take. A lot of that stuff, because see, that's the mind of the spirit man. The mind of the spirit man can do that. And I was in Walmart one day, and I had my purse in a basket, and I was looking at something, and there was another basket over here. You know how they put stuff up, but they'll leave it in a basket. They hadn't put it up yet. Well, when I left that area, I accidentally picked up this basket over here. Left my purse with my mother's credit card and my mother's keys because she sent me take my car. And, of course, our credit card. and the keys to my car, and you know, you don't want to leave your purse, your Social Security card, your driver's license. It's a hassle. So anyway, I don't know where I left that basket, but I've been doing this every day. So I go on to the cash register and I'm going to get my stuff out, and I went, oh, this is not my basket, and it was like, oh no. And I, Carla, the flesh woman, would not have known even what path to take. You know how you get in there and you're just roaming around. You're not thinking about, okay, now I'm on aisle four. Now I'm on aisle five. I don't know where I left that basket. And my flesh woman was having a panic, but I went straight to that basket. And I thought, how did I do that? It's almost like a dog would turn around and sniff its track to go right back and take every step. But I went right to that basket. And I didn't even realize it at the time. And later in the day, I thought, hey, my spirit man knew exactly every step I took and was able to step my flesh woman in a panic right back to that basket. So I wanted to give that to y'all so that you could begin to try it out. Instead of having to unzip this thing and step out of it, we need to learn how to allow the spirit to live in our flesh man, but know that the spirit man is greater than the flesh man. And so I'll have to do the rest of this at another time because it's 5 o'clock. And Lord, I just thank you for this. I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you're showing us, Lord, because we're coming to the times that we're going to need to walk in the Spirit all the time. You know, I didn't even know that was possible. And I didn't, you know, it's you can walk in the Spirit sometime and walk, you know, all of these things where I was questioning. But now I know, Lord, that because we are a spirit man in a flesh container and our spirit man is greater than that flesh, that we can walk in the Spirit and be containers of your power. And Lord, I just thank you for that. And Father, I ask that you can allow this to just, it's food for thought for all of these who have heard it, and you talk to God about it, and I'll just leave you with that. I love you guys. God bless you. Bless the food, and let's go eat. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.